Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast and at the top, click on Try Free and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad and then on with today's episode.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is a show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. If you were out in public somewhere, just going about your day, and you saw someone collapse, someone you don't know, what would you do? Most people don't really know what they would do until they're actually put in that situation. There are stories of people who witness something like this and they just freeze. Or if it's a busy place like a public sidewalk and someone's on the ground, a lot of times everyone will just walk by. It's an unfortunate psychology thing with humans. It's called diffusion of responsibility. Everyone thinks that someone else will help, and as a result, no one helps. Well, thankfully, not everyone is like that. There are some people who see a situation, maybe a person in distress, and their first thought is, what can I do to help this person? One of those people is Kevin Purcell, who you'll meet in today's episode. Kevin is the executive director of the New Jersey State Golf Association. One day about a year ago, Kevin was finishing up a round of golf, and he saw something was happening on the course. As he looked more closely, he could see that a man was on the ground. The man who had collapsed was Carlos Tapia, and he was having a heart attack. In today's episode, we'll hear from Kevin what happened. And I was also able to get a few comments from Carlos to get his perspective on that day. A couple of things I want to mention. For clubs or courses that would like to get involved with providing CPR training for your staff, I'll have links for that in the show notes for this episode at whatwasthatlike.com/31. And I also want to thank my friend Paul Kondo for connecting me with Kevin. If you're looking for new podcasts to listen to, Paul publishes an email newsletter that helps with that. Every Wednesday, he highlights 3 podcast episodes that he's found interesting, and you can check that at paulkondo.com. That's PaulKondo.com. I don't know if he's related to Marie Kondo or not, but his sense of humor kind of does spark joy for me. Maybe you'll like it too. And if you'd like to join others who support this show for as little as $1 a month, you can do that at whatwasthatlike.com/support. And now, let's meet Kevin. On the day this happened, how many other people on that golf course do you think knew CPR?
You know, I've thought about this after the fact. There's a pool at the golf course, so there's some lifeguards at the pool. They probably knew CPR, 3 or 4 of those. But I would imagine at any golf course at any given time, out of 100 people on the golf course, there's probably a handful that do know CPR. Obviously, there's some doctors who are members of the club, and they obviously would have known CPR.
Yeah, that's good to have somebody like that around. As I was doing a little bit of background for this before we spoke, I found out some interesting statistics, and basically 3 things. One is that a little over half, like 54% of Americans, say they know how to perform CPR. But the second one is, only 1 out of 6 know that the recommended technique is no longer including breaths. It's compressions only. And the third one is only 1 out of 10 know the actual correct pace for those compressions, which is 100 to 120. How did you happen to know how to do CPR the right way on that day?
In a previous job, I was the general manager of golf courses for the county of Bergen. We had 5 golf courses, and we manned those golf courses by a lot of part-time staff. Each year, we would have an orientation for those staff members in our headquarters. And as part of the orientation, we would have occasionally, not every year, but we would have CPR training. So I didn't do the CPR training every year, but I was around it every year we did it. I heard it all the time. I heard when that change came on board that that you no longer had to do the breaths. So it was through the repetition of those trainings that I remembered. I muddled my way through when the time was important to remember it.
That's good. A lot of it stuck then. Okay. Well, just take us through what happened that day. Where were you? Where did this actually happen?
So it actually happened on the first tee of the golf course. I was finishing my round of golf. It was about 11:30, 12 o'clock. I had just finished the 18th hole, was walking up the hill. There's a hill behind the 18th hole, then a little cart path, and then some steps up to the 12th tee, which is adjacent to the first tee.
This is at the course where you normally play?
Yeah, this is at the club, Forest Hill Field Club in Bloomfield, New Jersey, where I grew up playing. And since I've become executive director of the State Golf Association, I've gone back there as a member and thoroughly enjoy being there. So I'm walking up the hill to where the cart path is, and I happen to look over to the first tee, and I saw a friend of mine standing oddly, looking straight down. And I quickly looked, but then didn't think much of it. I went back to my scorecard. I was filling out the card of what was really a lackluster round of golf. I didn't finish particularly well on the 18th hole, so I wasn't in the best of moods. But as I walked up the stairs to the same level of the 12th tee and looking over to the first tee, I realized there was somebody on the ground. And kind of instinct took over. I just kind of ran over there. And when I got there, he was laying on the ground. My friend Frank Almesi was standing over him trying to talk to him, and I knelt down. And the man was completely unresponsive. I did not know him, so I didn't even know his name to call his name. So I realized he was laying on his side. His eyes were wide open, and he was breathing laboriously. He had fallen in a way that his glasses were mangled around his eyes and bridge of his nose, and he had cut hit the bridge of his nose. So the first thing I did while he was breathing like that, I kind of lifted his head. I wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything clogging his throat. So I lifted his head. I got the glasses out of there, and he was breathing still. And at that time, I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? The first thought was that if he's breathing, the body wants to stay alive. So let's let him breathe and see if it could correct itself. Again, he was non-responsive. So waving my hand in front of his eyes, Frank was calling his name from behind me, and there was no response to that at all. So I was just kind of monitoring him, right? And at that moment, a young lady knelt down on the other side of him. She said, I'm a doctor's assistant. And she immediately reached for his wrist and said, I have a pulse. So I said to her, well, he's breathing. He has a pulse. Let's just see what's going on. Let's just let it be for a minute. And almost instantaneously, she said, I'm losing the pulse. And he stopped breathing. So at that point, she said, do you know CPR? And I said, well, we're going to find out. I didn't say that, but I pushed him on his back. So he was laying on his back now. And I found his breastplate, put one hand over another, and started compressions. So a year prior to this, at a meeting that we have for all of our golf courses, the member clubs come to a meeting that we have speakers come to. I had the opportunity to speak to introduce some of the speakers. And as part of my introduction, I had said that golf courses should really have CPR training because I remembered us doing it at the public courses. I had just recently heard on the radio that the rhythm for compressions goes to the song, staying alive, and that came to me in that moment. So I started singing it to myself and I was doing the compressions. And knowing that you have to push the blood from the chest cavity all the way to the brain, I realized I got to be pushing pretty hard. So I did that. He's a big man. I realized that not from looking at the length of his body, but when I moved his head to get the glasses out from under, it was a heavy head. And I thought, he's a big man, so I've got to push to make sure that this happened. It turns out that the gentleman is 6'8". And is a big man. So I was pushing hard to make sure that thinking that I've got to move this blood from his chest to his brain. And that continued until there was a kind of a jerk. He sat up about a quarter of the way and took a big breath and went back on his back and again started breathing laboriously.
And how many other people were around you at this time?
To tell you the truth, Scott, it was me and Nicole. I could hear Frank behind me. I didn't realize until after the fact that there were 20 people around us.
Well, yeah, of course, when something like that, you've got like tunnel vision.
Yeah, yeah. I could not see anybody other than the young lady next to me who I didn't know either. I heard Frank's voice behind me trying to coax him back. Other than that, I didn't know anybody was around because I was really focused on him.
And with a crowd like that, I'm sure somebody had already called 911.
Correct. Our golf professional, Jason Fiore, had called 911. And it wasn't until after – so he came back after the first time of going out. We were monitoring him again, and he went out again. So we again started compressions and kept that going. It wasn't until that second time that I could actually hear the siren in the background of an ambulance coming. But I tell you, in the heat of the moment, it seemed like it was taking an hour for it to get there. CPR is actually tiring to perform because you're using your entire body to generate enough energy to press to make the compression. So I could hear it in the background, didn't pay much attention to it, knew it was coming, kept the compressions going. And again, there was a jerk from his body and he sat up quickly. Only a quarter sat, just kind of came off the ground a little bit and again started breathing really hard. So at that time, I kind of remembered again that you got to make sure that there's a clear air flow. So I looked in his mouth and made sure that he didn't have anything in his mouth, and there wasn't, but it was just this very difficult breathing. It was kind of like a bad snore, where somebody has fallen asleep in a chair and just an unnatural position, and he's got that bad snore. So that's what it was. But he's still unresponsive, no reaction over his eyes, which were wide open. So we kind of monitor him again, and he went out again. So this happened, in my estimation, it happened 4 or 5 times before coming in and out before the ambulance, the EMT arrived.
That part of it just seems so unusual to me because, you know, when you see like in a movie or on TV, somebody performing CPR and somebody comes back, it's like, oh, he's back. Oh, thankfully he's okay now. Or even on a CPR demo or instruction or something, you know, you bring him back. I have not heard of them going back and coming back out of it. And then, you know, it went back and forth several times like that.
Yeah, it did. As I said, four times at least, maybe five before the EMTs came. And when the EMT came, I thought I was just going to back off and they would take over. But that really wasn't the case. One person came around the back of his head and started to put on an airbag. And the other person went across from me and replaced Nicole and started to unravel the portable defibrillator.
Here's my hot take for today. If you see something advertised as a free trial, it might cost you more than you expect. At least that's my experience. I give up my credit card to try something for free for a week, then I forget about it, and now I'm paying for it every month without even noticing it. But when I signed up for Rocket Money, that ridiculous waste came to a screeching halt. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. It lets you see all of your subscriptions listed right there in one place. When you see a subscription you're paying for but you don't want, do you really want to spend an hour on the phone trying to track down some customer service agent to cancel it? Rocket Money can help you get rid of it with just a few taps. They also give me this great dashboard so I can see what I've spent this month compared to last month. And they'll even try to negotiate lower bills for me by up to 20%. So I'm spending less and saving more. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwas. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwas. rocketmoney.com/whatwas.
I made a decision a long time ago. When I'm out riding my bike each morning and I cross paths with someone, I always smile at that person. And most people smile back. But I do it because even though it's a little thing, it makes a big difference for me and maybe for them. It's just a fact. Small actions can bring big benefits. In the same way, it's also true that taking care of your gut can support the health of the rest of your body. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits not just your gut, but your skin and heart health too. Seed DSO1 is part of my morning routine. If you can call it a routine, it's just two little capsules. And I feel amazing. It helps maintain the health of my heart, and it promotes regularity, which I can attest to. Sorry, that may be a little TMI there. For me, it's great that it's vegan, but it's also sugar-free, soy-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, and has no preservatives. It doesn't even need refrigeration. DSO1 has so many benefits, including the fact that it's backed by a lot of science, but I've barely scratched the surface here. What I can say, though, is that my body feels great. And I've got a promo code so you can see the benefits for yourself.
Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/what and use code 25what to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/what. Code 25what.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Took off the pads, placed the pads, took his shirt off, placed the pads in the right spot. But during this time, I was still doing the CPR compressions. The person who was at the head of the patient said to me, the EMT worker said, I'd like you to do it a little deeper and a little slower. So I adjusted. And then there came a time when the defibrillator was ready to charge. So these are an amazing piece of equipment that is really It's really set up for a person who knows nothing about them.
And what you're talking about is called an AED.
An AED, yeah. It's a portable defibrillator. So it's going to measure the heart. It's going to monitor the heart once the pads are in place. So one goes on the chest. There's a picture on it. One goes on the chest. One goes on the side of the chest. And it sends a pulse through, and it measures the electric waves that are in the heart. And it will shock to restabilize those waves. And it got to the point where it needed to do that. So it goes off automatically. It says charging clear. So that's when everyone backs away so they don't get shocked. His whole body convulsed, jumped off the ground, went back down, and he had another rhythm, and he was back again, but again, not conscious. Back again. So at that time, at that stage, they said, okay, let's pack them up. So they kind of moved them around, put them on the gurney, and they were about to move him out, but he went out again. So they started CPR while he was on the gurney, and then they got him stable, and then they moved him through the back of the clubhouse out towards the parking lot and took him.
Part of when I read what you wrote about this earlier, one of the things you said was Nicole calmed you while you were doing the compressions. Can you talk about that? How did she do that?
Absolutely. She just said, "What's your name?" I said, "Kevin." She said, "Okay, so you know how to do CPR. Let's just take this one step at a time." And what that did was just having somebody's voice in my ear that wasn't the panic that I was feeling at the moment was calming for me. She was a doctor's assistant. And she knew this stuff. I later found out that she had actually never performed CPR before, but had, you know, obviously taken pulse for every patient that comes in the office. So while she was doing that, she was just a steady hand that was there while all the things were racking around in my brain as to whether I could be doing something else for the man.
Right. Isn't it amazing how in a situation like that, people who don't even know each other can all of a sudden form a team? And you know you all have the same goal.
Yeah.
And everybody just works together. That was great.
Yeah. You know, and I just, knowing that there were other people, you know, behind me who had already called for an ambulance. Listen, if I come upon this man by myself, I don't even know if I would have thought to call an ambulance until two or three repetitions of this thing. Because I'm, as I said before, I didn't know who was around me. I knew Nicole was there. But if I was only by myself, I would have been racking my brain trying to figure out how to help this man and might not have thought about the ambulance, which is when you do CPR training, that's really the first thing you should do is make that call to the ambulance before you start anything else.
Yeah, or make the call or instruct someone nearby to make the call. Yeah, yeah. If someone is nearby.
Yeah.
As an aside, have you ever seen the episode of The Office about CPR training?
I have not.
But, oh, man.
But having gone through our own training after the fact here in our office, I could imagine that was a pretty good episode.
It was pretty good. I'll link to that in the show notes for this. You'll get a kick out of that.
Great.
So they loaded him in the ambulance and he, at that point, he was just off to the hospital then, right?
Correct. And I'm standing on the T. I'm standing on that first T, and I look up for the first time, you know, where I can focus on something other than getting him on the gurney and on his way, and realize that there are a lot of people standing around. Some of them within hand's reach and others that are, you know, 10 yards away and 20 yards away and all the way over on the other side of the 12th T. But there were a lot of people standing there. And I thought to myself that I can't speak to any of these people right now. Some of them were coming towards me saying, "Wow, that was great," and everything. I was like, "Yep, thank you. Thank you." And I just moved my way to the closest door to the clubhouse, and I walked into the clubhouse. And remembering that it was early in the morning still, I wanted to kind of get to a room where I could just decompress and just take a moment. And I thought the shower room would probably be the best because it was still early. Nobody had made their way there yet. So I went into the shower room. I was alone for a little bit, and I thought to myself, "Holy cow, what just happened?" And at that time, my brother Tim came in. He was on a property. I don't think we had played together, but we may have played together. But anyway, he came in and put his arm around me and said, "Wow, that was incredible." And we stood there and cried for a little bit. Sorry. So we talked a little bit and were able to kind of clear the air and just kind of talked through what happened. And, you know, eventually that was it was kind of, you know, time to get on with today, you know. So I went, you know, we were going to have lunch on the patio. So I went out to the patio and I sat there. And again, everybody was coming up saying that was incredible and everything. And, you know, just kind of got a time to relax, you know, take a few breaths and sit down. And,
it takes your time just to process all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, what just happened?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
To go into something like that, I always had wondered if I'd be the kind of guy to jump in, and was happy to do that. That's why I said before that when I knelt down, that was a significant part of the story, because I had done CPR training. It had been 6 years since I had done it, but you're not thinking about that as you're walking towards somebody who's down on the ground. When I knelt down, I just knelt down out of, you know, compassion for the person, I guess. I don't know, but to see if I could do something. And it worked out that I could. So
he was very fortunate to have you standing by, or at least have you notice something that was going on. This man's name is Carlos Tapia, and I was able to contact him and actually get a few comments to get his perspective on what happened that day.
Hi, my name is Carlos Tapia. I'm joining the Forest Hill Golf Club in Bloomfield, New Jersey. I'm 76 years old. And August 27th, like next week, I will be 1 year old from my second chance, thanks to Kevin Purcell. Last year, on the same day, I was teeing off in the first hole, and I collapsed. I got a cardiac arrest. Kevin was finished dating hole, and he saw something was going on, so he ran to where I was and started performing CPR for about 10 minutes. Until the ambulance arrived. I was getting some electroshocks in the ambulance, and 2 days after I got a pacemaker, I was able to play in the next 30 days after that day. So I will say Kevin is a wonderful person. If it's not for him, I don't will be recording this now. And I will be grateful to him for the rest of my life.
He's obviously a grateful guy.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool hearing that. Yeah.
What's amazing that is he was playing golf again within a month after that.
I saw him at a tournament a month later. I couldn't believe it. Somebody had told me, I think Carlos is playing in this tournament. We have a big tournament called the Silver Putter in September. And I said, come get out of here. And sure enough, I saw him a little later that day. He came over, gave me a big hug. We didn't know each other. This was the first time we were meeting. Got to talk a little bit, and as you could tell, he's Argentinian, and he, as I said before, he's a 6'8" man. He had played for the Argentinian national basketball team, and in his youth, and he had joined a club not too long ago, and we haven't had a chance for our paths to cross. So really cool to meet him that day. It's really amazing.
Did he recognize you, or you recognize him, or other people just said, hey, you guys need to talk to each other?
I think other people put us together. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to miss him, because I found out after the fact that he was, you know, he's that big a man. And so he's at 6'8". You don't have that many people walking around a golf club at 6'8". So I saw him when he was coming. So we've developed a friendship since, and it's just wonderful.
That's cool. Now, you and he were in attendance at an event. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association gives out an award each year for somebody who has performed some sort of a humanitarian act or has saved a life or done something similar. It's the name of the award is the Mary B. Porter Award. And it's given at this dinner, their annual dinner, where they also give out five or six other awards, the Club of the Year and the Gold Tee Award, which went to professional golfer Jim Furyk that year. It was at the beginning of this past summer. And the neat thing was Mary B. Porter was there. I was able to sit next to her on the dais, and we talked about her life-saving act, which happened back in the 80s when she was a player on the LPGA Tour. She had noticed some commotion in a pool adjacent to the fairway she was on, or she was actually in the trees of the hole. So she was close enough to the property line to see some commotion. She went over to the fence while, her playing a partner played a shot, and she realized that there was a kid in the pool struggling. And then she worked her way over the fence with the help of her caddy, and she got over there, and the kid's father was there. But he was so distraught when he grabbed his kid out of the pool and the kid was unresponsive that he just handed the kid to Mary B. Porter. And Mary didn't know what she was doing, pretty much like me, but did enough to turn the kid upside down and shake him a little bit and got enough water out for him to start breathing again and saved a life. So that was an award that I was happy to get. It's certainly not necessary. I said in my acceptance of that, had a couple minutes to just say thank you. And I said that this is a really neat award, and it's nice to be recognized, but it really is unnecessary. And I said, because the real reason why this is cool is because of the gentleman who's standing over here. So I pointed out into the crowd, and Carlos stood up, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Carlos Tapia. And the crowd stood to their feet. As I said, there were 400 people in the room. It was an incredible night.
The crowd went wild.
The crowd went wild, for sure. Yeah.
Well, tell us now, you're on some sort of a crusade to get CPR training and everything on golf courses and clubs. How is that working, or what's your involvement with that?
I realized after this had happened, and in hearing so many getting so many nice notes from friends and strangers, that there's probably something here that I should try to use to motivate clubs to get a little bit better, to have their staff be better trained. So I wrote an article for our magazine. Remember, I'm the executive director of the State Golf Association. We have a magazine. There's about 40,000 members of about 65,000 members of our association that get the magazine. So I wrote an article in the magazine. Along with the publishing of the magazine, we had made arrangements with the American Red Cross. A young lady came out and sat with us and told us about how easy it would be to do training for the clubs. So we arranged with them for a program for people to go work through our website to get connected with the American Red Cross and set up training in their local area for their staff members and members if they wanted to, or for just their own businesses do that. So then we started promoting it at our golf summit. I mentioned before at a previous golf summit, I mentioned the song for the rhythm. But at this year's golf summit, we had Courtney come out and talk about the program, and we're still in the process of trying to get clubs to engage with this program and get their staff trained.
It's obvious a program like that is absolutely going to save lives.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be in November. I'll be getting together with the International Association of Golf Administrators, which is an association that I'm a member of, and I'll also speak about it there. And hopefully, some other associations will also get this program as part of their benefits for clubs.
That's great. Well, whatever links we can provide for other clubs or golf courses that want to get involved with this and get the training for their staff, I'll put those links in the show notes for this episode so they can see that there. And wow, great job. It was a bad day of golf for you, but good way to end it, right?
Absolutely. There's never really a bad day at golf. There's just, but this one was pretty special. This will be one I'll remember the rest of my life for sure.
Thanks for listening. My goal for each episode is to bring you people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you'd like to discuss this episode or previous episodes with other listeners, you can do that at our private Facebook group at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. I hope to see you in there. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do that at whatwasthatlike.com/support. And I'll see you in 2 weeks, where we'll once again be asking the question, what was that like?
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.